Chapter 3. Rouge. Rouge stared up at the perfect and terrible face hovering over her own, and thought fast. Finally she choked out, "I thought," she felt the creature's claws scratch over her throat as she spoke, though the lack of pain indicated that her skin should still be intact, "You said you were just here to play?" The crimson eyes bored into hers for a moment longer, and then the full lips snarled briefly, turning her face into an animalistic mask. It lasted for only an instant, and then the carmine mouth settled into a sensual pout instead, as the woman stood, slowly and languidly. Her taloned fingers flicked dismissively, as she returned to sprawl languidly on a cushion-covered bench made of some richly carved wood, and lush padding covered in deep black satin. "You speak the truth, vile youth. I have yet more power than you know, but now is not the time for show. A simple question here I ask, who I am now as in the past? One chance more than out the door." She smiled tranquilly, vicious fangs flashing like knife blades in the dark. "Silas." Rouge's internal voice was a little desperate, and she could feel her small friend shuddering against her throat. Thankfully, the bat was hiding in Rouge's curls on the other side of her neck from where the vampire had been touching her. But it had still been far too close to the fragile bat. I don't remember. I know I thought it was a funny name, because it had something sun-related in it, and vampires usually can't go out in the sun. But that name you said, Jezebel, sounded right, but she said it isn't. I don't know. Poor Silas sounded like she would be drowning in terrified sobs if she could be, and Rouge had to force back a desperate urge to snuggle her friend comfortingly. If the evil creature they were trapped with didn't know the bat was there, however, Rouge wasn't going to give it away. Okay. What did she know? Not much, really. The name was close to Jezebel, but had something sun-related in it. Sun, sun, sun. Sun was hot, sun was bright, sunshine, sunbeam, sunlight, sun, ray. That rang a sort of very, very distant memory bell. Silas, was it Ray? Ray Bell? Jeray? Jezeray? The bat quivered excitedly. Yes. Jezeray. That was it. William has mentioned her a few more times. Just little things, but sometimes we talk when we're both awake at night and everyone else is sleeping, and I know he said that name. He really, really doesn't like her, and now I can see why. Rouge drew in a deep breath, watching the smug vampire, as she tapped her finger claws in a slow and discordant pattern on the gleaming scrolled arms of the bench. I'm going to go with that then. It sounds right to me too. Well, in that it sounded like a name anyway. She really didn't remember, but Jezeray didn't sound wrong, and Silas was around a lot more to hear the name mentioned. Rouge just didn't want her friend to feel guilty if it wasn't the right name. She cleared her throat and looked straight into the bright red eyes. Carefully she pronounced, "Jezeray." Instantly, the space around them collapsed, and the last thing Rouge saw were the brilliant red eyes flashing toward her, their expression utterly blank of anything except a desperate desire to slaughter. Then her feet dropped a few inches, and she found herself once again standing on the smooth burnished stone of the temple floor. Around her was a simple room, not much larger than the shrine in the woods where they had taken refuge after running from Bloodhaven, though the ceiling was easily twice as high. On a low pedestal before her was a statue of Gina, her lovingly carved face gazing out over Rouge's head with calm benevolence. Rouge's legs went weak, and she collapsed on the floor, knees banging painfully against the stone. At the sound, something moved in the darkness behind the statue, and Rouge threw herself to the side, rolling away from a possible incoming attack. A system message flashed at the bottom of her vision. You have entered a shrine dedicated to your patron goddess, Gina. You feel refreshed. Your health, mana, and stamina regeneration will double as long as you remain inside the shrine, and do not enter battle. A young woman poked her head out of the shadows, blinking large violet eyes surrounded by thick black lashes. Oh my! A devotee. She emerged fully into the soft lighting given off by glowstones set in frosted glass sconces. She was wearing the soft green favored by Gina's clergy, in an off-the-shoulder draped gown gathered below her breasts and allowed to flow loose in the back. The style complemented her generous figure, and her round, rather plain features were attractive in their genuine pleasure at seeing Rouge. I'm Priestess Penelope. Penny, if you like. You're the first traveler to make it through the trials today. How lovely to meet you. A broad smile brought out a dimple in her right cheek. Slowly, Rouge came to her feet, still warily eyeing the shadows around the room, though it seemed she and Penny were the only ones present. How did you get here then? She knew she sounded a bit abrupt, but she was still looking for tricks and traps. Penny looked disapproving. Oh, even the new city lord can't keep a member of the clergy from their temple. We haven't yet been able to find a way around the regulations that demand the faithful prove their devotion. But we who have committed our lives to our goddess need offer no further proof. I just walked here. The hallway is longer than it used to be, but that's it. Rouge smiled a little, daring to hope that she really had made it to the actual temple. Silas? Do you see anything suspicious? A series of squeaks came from next to her ear, and then Silas' relieved voice spoke. Nothing. My sonar is working again too. I'm here to get Gina's blessing and accept a subclass. Can I do that? Before, she just would have walked up to the idol and gotten started, but now she wasn't sure what the protocol was. A slight blush crept into Penny's cheeks, and her violet eyes took on a slightly frustrated gleam. You can, yes, but you'll have to pay a small fee. Unfortunately, his lordship, yep, there was a definite bite in her voice now, has seen fit to tax all the churches except for that of Apophis. If we don't charge something, he insists we pay a lump sum regardless. A blessing will be 1 silver, and the subclass will cost 1 gold. She held out a small locked box, face now apologetic. Rouge passed her hand over the box, depositing the requested fee. She frowned a little though. Is that for travelers and natives alike? She looked around, noting once again that the temple seemed empty except for the two of them. Ah no, Penny's flush deepened. Citizens of this world are sent to a large common area. They don't have to face the trials, but they also don't get to pray in a proper temple. There is an acolyte and a small shrine for each god in the common area. Only Apophis's worshippers are allowed in his temple. Thinking of Millie and Struthio, Rouge felt herself growing a little angry. My friends came in earlier to arrange their wedding. They're natives and followers of Gina. What happened to them? The priestess shrugged helplessly. They would have been sent to the common area. It's quite expensive to get married right now, but if they could afford the fee, they're probably already married. It costs a great deal more for a proper wedding, and the acolytes use each other as witnesses for ceremonies like that if the couple hasn't brought their own. Closing her eyes, Rouge pushed back her frustration. It seemed obvious to her that this woman was doing her best with a difficult situation, and it wasn't her fault the jerk face running the city was doing jerk face things. She forced a smile. I'm just glad they could get married. We'll have to throw a party for them later. Thanks for your help. Nodding, the priestess stepped back, carefully carrying the box back to what Rouge could now see was a soft chair half hidden behind the pedestal on which the statue stood. The thief could see a book lying splayed open on the ground by the chair. She winced as she thought about what Mott would have to say about what that did to the spine. Shrugging, she turned back to the statue. Time to get to praying. Several fluffy cushions rested on the ground in front of Gina's statue, and Rouge carefully knelt on a particularly brightly colored blue one. Closing her eyes, she bowed her head and accessed the temple interface. You are at a place of worship, dedicated to your chosen deity, Gina. Would you like to pray? You may receive a blessing or boon as a result of this prayer. Yes, no. She quickly selected yes and instantly felt warmth flood her body, as if she'd stepped into sunshine after being in a cold, dark room. Due to your high reputation with the Church of Gina, you may choose a boon. At your level, you may select from Indefatigable or Manoel. This was definitely new, and very cool. When she'd prayed in the past, she usually got a buff like temporary immunity from curses, or 10 extra hit points for 5 hours. Nice, but not exactly a game changer. As her reputation with Gina's church increased, the buffs got better, and her favorite had definitely been a 3-hour agility boost that had made her practically impossible to hit. She knew boons lasted longer than the buffs, but since they varied by both deity and player, reading through lists of what other people had received was pretty pointless. Now, looking at her choices, she itched to take mana well, but the fact was that she just didn't have that many spells. Whatever it did, it would obviously affect her mana, so no spells meant no bueno. Indefatigable, however, looked like it would affect stamina, and she could always use more of that. Admittedly, she had a pretty good handle on what she could do without running out, as did most players, but still, it would be the smart choice. So she chose mana well. After all, she was about to upgrade her class, and who knew what goodness was coming her way? Gina has blessed you with access to some of her divine power. For the next 24 hours of playtime, your mana pool will be doubled. Attacking another follower of Gina or choosing a different god will cancel this boon. Rouge grinned. Heck yes. Double the mana, double the fun. Right now she could cast Poof almost indefinitely given her mana region, and could even cast Poison Rain 4 times in succession, maybe even 5 if her region had time to give her back 20 mana before all the cooldowns were up. She rubbed her hands together. Now for the really fun part. You have chosen to accept a subclass. Subclasses available to you are Burglar, Cutpurse, Assassin, Mugger, Sneak, Spy, Uncommon, Enforcer, Highwayman, Merry Woman, Uncommon, Foul Trickster, Unique. You have selected Foul Trickster. This choice cannot be changed. Are you certain you would like to accept the subclass Foul Trickster? You must confirm this choice 3 times. If you contact an admin claiming you made an incorrect selection, your request will be automatically denied. Sheesh, Veritas, way to take the magic out of a moment. Rolling her eyes, Rouge selected yes, then I am certain, and finally, I understand this choice cannot be changed. As she clicked for the last time, her body burst into golden flames. Congratulations. You are now a Foul Trickster. You have learned Shadow Glide. This skill allows you to instantly travel up to 5 feet within a single shadowed area. You have learned the spell, what's that? You may distract up to 3 targets with a percent success chance of spell level X, your level. Total intelligence of all targets 2. Your spell Poof is now Poof. This spell casts an area obscuration cloud that lasts a minimum of 2 minutes and cannot be dispelled. This cloud can give the smoke inhalation or poison debuff. All members of your party are immune to these negative effects. You have learned the spell Substitution. You may take on the outward appearance of any sentient you have touched within the last hour. Duration up to 15 minutes. Spell can be cancelled voluntarily or if you are attacked. Skill Steal Found. Skills may be used in concert. If you are able to steal an item from your target, the duration of Substitution will be increased, depending on the rarity of the stolen item. You must keep the item with you in order to use this skill boost. This boost will end when the theft is discovered, leaving a maximum of 15 minutes remaining on the skill. Your skill, Obfuscation, is now level 25. You may conceal your identity and level from all viewers with a percent success rate of skill level plus your level, viewer's intelligence 10. You may select one type of avian companion from the list of birds who assisted you during the prerequisite quest. Only one option found. Avian companion set to ostrich. Being within 10 feet of your avian companion boosts the odds of successful skill checks by 5%. Your affinity with mobs and sapients of type avian has increased by 20%. Your battle mount, Codswallop, now has 5 damage points before he will be forced to respawn. Your battle mount, Codswallop, has earned one unique skill. Unique skill, Confabulation, granted to battle mount Codswallop by your deity, Gina. Nobody rides an ostrich, right? That's silly. That was a really ugly horse. Sapient viewers will now convince themselves they see a horse instead of a large bird. This effect has a 5% chance of failing against people with intelligences greater than or equal to 120, in groups of fewer than 10, or if the viewer is a young child for their race. Failure chance occurs only once, the first time a viewer sees the affected mount, and thereafter they will always see the same thing. By the time she finished reading the notifications, Rouge was grinning like a loon. She could feel how many teeth she was exposing, but somehow she just couldn't stop. This was a moshing. Then her eyes widened as another, shorter stream of notices popped up. Class experience beyond the level cap is available. Apply now. Yes, no. Accumulated class experience granted. Experience will be applied to new skills and spells at a ratio of 2 to 1, or you may choose to increase only rogue skills and receive the full amount. Apply deferred class experience to all skills and spells at 2 to 1, or base rogue skills only at 1 to 1? That cured her grin pretty quickly. She knew this was coming, because she'd read about it on the forums. Most people used the information available online to decide what subclass they were going to go for long before they reached the level cap. Then when they reached 20, they could run to the nearest shrine or temple and accept their new subclass, thus losing little to no class experience. The game counted everything a player did, since they created their character when considering what subclasses they were qualified for. Want to be a pirate? Head to water and get some time in on boats, preferably as the captain. Want to be a highwayman? Head out of the city and start stealing from people, preferably near a road after setting up an ambush. If you did it right, then when you hit your level cap, the game would offer you not only the three default subclasses available to your class, but also the one you actually wanted. In Rouge's case, she'd been able to select from Burglar, Cutpurse, or Assassin, which were the defaults, but had also had Mugger, It Was a Quest, and Sneak unlocked. She'd gotten Spy not long after, since she tended to spend a fair amount of time watching her targets before actually attempting a theft. Rouge, unfortunately, didn't like anything she'd seen when she looked them up. The base three were just too common. While Veritas' system meant that any player could have a skill or spell that was unexpected, most people did the expected things and got the expected results. Boring. Mugger was pretty common too, though it had a cool perk of allowing you to ignore bluestones if you managed to catch someone completely alone. You couldn't kill them, but you could stun them, and then steal anything that they had in extra bags outside of their personal inventory. Sneak was kind of like a lower level of spy, and allowed you to get closer to people before they had a chance of noticing you being weird, even in large crowds. To be an enforcer, you had to work with a gang, which meant raising your reputation with that gang. Rouge had gotten it through a quest chain. That was actually how she'd met and become friends with Gunthrax, the orc who'd briefly been her jailer in the Thieves Guild. Honestly, that was one of the few quest chains she'd really regretted taking, but when she'd started it, she hadn't yet realized just how different NPCs in WoW were from NPCs in traditional games. In any case, none of them had been enticing, and the more experience she got past her level cap, the more determined she was to make it all worthwhile. Finally, she'd just kind of forgotten about it, except on those rare occasions when she bothered looking at her character sheet. It killed her feeling of immersion, so she usually only did it after getting a level. As long as she was doing character maintenance, though. She sighed and pulled it up. Stat points available, 104. Would you like to allocate these unused stat points now? She scowled. She'd been putting half her points into dexterity since the very beginning, so that had always been an easy choice. After that, things got a little rough. She liked spells more than skills, but the thief classes just didn't get very many of them. They tended to be much more stamina-based than mana-based, so most thieves didn't even bother with the intelligence stat, beyond what they needed for lockpicking and trap disarming, which capped out at around 30. As they'd gotten closer to Bright, she'd known she was going to get some levels when she completed the come-in from the cold quest, so she'd just stopped applying her points, except for the ones she put into dex. She'd been level 44 when Aspen walked into Bright and gained 5 levels for the quest, which was 50 stat points. 25 of those went into dex, and done. That left her with 79, but she'd just gotten 2 cool new spells, as well as an upgrade to Poof, which now cost an extra 10 mana when casting. So 30 points went into intelligence. Ha! Mott always said int points over 30 were wasted on rogues, but she'd show him. Of course he had no magic at all, so his intelligence was sitting at 20 last she'd heard, and he only put those points in because you had to have 10 to be able to read, and he kept failing to see hidden mobs. Now 49 more points. Hum hum hum. She could definitely use some more health points, so 25 points went into vitality. Things had gotten a little too close a few times lately. With her increased dexterity, not much should be able to hit her, at least not around Bright, but it was hard to dodge spells. That left her sitting on 24 more stat points. Due to choosing Dark Elf as one of her races, she had reduced stamina. That made her wince every time she had to pour points into Endurance for so little return. She would definitely be needing more though, since both Obfuscation and Shadow Glide were awesome skills. 20 points to Endurance then, giving her a full 100 stamina. Finally! She dumped 1 point into Strength, bringing it up to a nice round 50. The last 3 points went to Wisdom, which as far as she could tell, did nothing for her, but she kept hoping it would, and plus 12 plus 3 was 15, which was nice. And done. That was nice. Her health, mana, and stamina regen had all gone up too. She would definitely be harder to kill now, though she really needed more strength. She just didn't like hitting and stabbing things as much as she liked casting spells and jumping around. Next time though, for sure. Now, back to the question at hand, which had been percolating in the back of her mind while she worked on her stats. Apply deferred class experience to all skills and spells at 2-to-1, or base rogue skills only at 1-to-1? Before she could change her mind, she selected base rogue skills. Yes, she wanted her new stuff leveled, and advanced skills and spells were much harder to raise than basic ones, but throwing away experience just wasn't something she could do. She sighed at the lost opportunity, but knew it was the way she had to go. Another wall of notifications flooded her vision. You are now a level 3 Foul Trickster. Deferred class-related skill experience applied. Stealth is now level 25. You may now run while using stealth. Sneak is now level 22. Lockpicking is now level 17. Trap detection is now level 11. Disarm trap is now level 7. Hidden Passages is now level 9. Ledger Domain is now level 23. Bonus to Sleight of Hand, now increased to 0.3% level of Ledger Domain. Sleight of Hand is now level 24. Percent chance of stealing very rare or better items increased 2%. Pilfer is now level 7. Obfuscation is now level 28. Backstab is now level 9. Steal is now level 28. Your percent chance to steal items not on a sentient creature or mob is now steal level plus, dexterity 4. Environmental factors may increase or decrease this effect. You may now steal unattended pack animals in 4 minutes 45 seconds. Climb is now level 24. You can now climb while in stealth. Deferred class-related spell experience applied. Original spell poof not found. Experience applied to upgraded spell. Poof is now level 17. Poison Rain is now level 4. And the insane grin was back. Are you ready to go, Silas? She sent to the little bat, who was suspiciously silent on her shoulder. Are you done? My eyes hurt. The little voice was definitely cranky. Rouge bit her lip. She had been surrounded by a whole lot of level up glows for a few minutes there, both from the class change and all the skill ups. Her small friend had probably been blinded by the sudden brilliance, especially since it had been right next to her. I'm sorry. I didn't even think to warn you. The bat sniffled. Do better next time. I will, I promise. Rouge snuggled her little friend and started looking for the way out. Getting out of the temple was far easier than getting in had been. All she had to do was walk out. She waved a cheerful farewell to Penny, dropped another 5 gold into the donation box and ran off down the hall. Which was short. Like 30 feet maybe. She emerged into the atrium, blinking at the sudden resurgence of sound and motion around her, as hundreds of players milled around. Now that she knew what she was looking at, she was disturbed at how many of them were heading straight into the Temple of Apophis. At least half were headed for the Temple of the New God, and the ones who weren't were mostly dressed in the leather and cloth garb of crafters and mages. She saw a lot of frustrated faces on these people as they wandered around staring at arches. Impulsively, she reached out and tugged at the sleeve of a female cleric standing nearby, staring up at the symbols above the various arches. Excuse me. I just got back to Bright, and I was wondering, she waved around at the bustling crowd. Why don't people just go to one of the smaller dedicated shrines to the other gods if they don't follow Apophis? The woman looked angry at first, but after taking in Rouge's age, she just sighed and said, "The city lord closed all the other shrines down. Said they needed permits or something, but no one knows how to get a permit. The temple is the only one left in the city. I hear the temples and shrines in towns near Bright are being taxed out of existence too. I was only 2 levels from getting my Priestess of Minetra class changed too. My boyfriend is a blacksmith, and we were really counting on the boosts my prayers would give the items he makes. It sucks." The woman gave a "what can you do" shrug and walked away, continuing her search for Mintra's temple. Rouge stood, thinking through the implications. If Apophis was really just a martial god, and there were no other temples or shrines nearby, then players who weren't warriors would have to either go through the trials every time they needed something, or use the guild circles to travel to another city or town where there was a shrine, which would get really expensive really fast. In the end, she suspected people would end up either leaving or just converting to Apophis, even if it meant they had to take a different subclass than they'd originally wanted. Crafting would be left to the NPCs, who could charge higher rates, which could be taxed at higher rates, but players who were warriors wouldn't care as much, since they had a much steadier flow of income than support classes. New players who wanted to be crafters were probably choosing elf races at even higher rates than usual, since this would allow them to spawn in Elfamay, far away from whatever stupidity was going on in Bright. In fact, new players starting in Bright would probably universally choose Apophis as their god to begin with. After all, what did it matter to them, really? Scowling, she walked out into the sunshine, immediately sending a message out in party chat. "Aspen! You there?"